Luke 18. And verse 1. And he, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? When the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, when he preached, there was never any that went from him and said, well, what was all that about? For his preaching was very clear, very plain, and very simple. In fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 7, we read that even his enemies, when they went to listen to him, to try and trip him up in his words, they had to go back to those who sent them and said, we never heard the like of this in all our lives. Never man spake like this man. So the Lord Jesus Christ, when he preached, he was so clear, so plain, and so very simple. Now, he often employed parables to communicate great gospel truths. And you know that a parable is a very simple story taken from everyday life and experience and applied spiritually. And that's what he does on this occasion here. He uses a very simple parable in order to encourage those to whom he speaks. And so we want to look at this parable that he uses tonight and see what there is in it for ourselves. And the first thing then we can see is there's an exhortation. There's an exhortation. You see, the parable is an exhortation with a specific purpose. And that purpose is told us in verse 1. It says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, for this purpose, or for this reason, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, very often this is a text that is used with regard to the subject of prayer itself. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. But what the Lord is here saying is this: men ought to persevere in the true religion, notwithstanding all the problems and all the difficulties that they encounter. Now, praying is mentioned because praying is one of the main evidences that a person is saved. When the Apostle Paul was converted, practically the first thing that was said about him is, "Behold, he prayeth." Ananias, you'll read in Acts 9, was afraid to go to Saul, for he had heard all about him. And he had heard how he had come to Damascus to do much evil to the church. And the Lord said, "You go to him, for behold, he prayeth." He's seeking the face of God. And it's mentioned here in this instance because it's one of the main evidences of spiritual life in a person. But the Lord is saying to those to whom he's speaking, the times are going to be hard. The times are going to be difficult. There'd be trials, there'd be tribulation, there'd be persecution. And if you look at the previous chapter, this verse in chapter 18, verse 1, is connected with what goes before in the previous chapter. And you will notice that we're told in verse 26, "And as it was," chapter 17, verse 26, "and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man." Look at verse 28. "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot." So the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to these people and he's saying to them that there's difficult days ahead. It's going to be like it was in the days of Noah. It's going to be like it was in the days of Lot. And it's not going to be an easy path for you to walk. There's going to be hardness ahead for us all. But he says we ought not to faint. We ought not to give up. We have to persevere in the life of grace. Men ought always to pray. And what he's saying there is that men ought always to hold on to God in spite of their difficulties, in spite of their problems, in spite of their perplexities, in spite of all that is around about them. They ought to hold on to God. Men ought always to pray and not give up, not give in, not faint. That's why we sung that hymn just a few moments ago, "A Debtor to Mercy Alone." And one of the verses says, "And I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given." And so the Lord Jesus Christ here is exhorting the people to whom he speaks to endure in the Christian life, the life of grace. We ought always to pray. Ought always to hold on to the Lord, not give up, not give in, not faint, to persevere. But then you'll notice there's not only an exhortation, there's an illustration. And he uses this story, this parable, to show us something about persevering. And he says, there was a widow. Well, first of all, he says it was a judge in a city. Now, here's a man of power and influence. But on the other hand, in verse 3, he says there was a widow in that city. Here is someone who's powerless and has no influence. On the one hand, we have a judge who can command men to do this and to do that, and they do it. On the other hand, we have a poor widow with no one to fend for her. She's helpless. Then she comes with a petition. And she says to him, avenge me of mine adversary. Now, we're not told what the difficulty was as such, but she was in trouble. And there was somebody giving her a hard time. Avenge me of mine adversary. Now, this is just a simple story from everyday life, and I'm sure this happened over and over and over again. And the Lord takes it, and he says, this widow comes, and she asks the man who's the judge, the man who should be doing right, the man who should intervene to deal with the situation. And it says he would not for a while. But then he began to think about it. And he says, I better do something here because this woman is going to torture me. She's going to get onto me again and again and again. He says, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her lest by her continual coming. Notice that. Her continual coming. She weary me. So the judge is saying, she is not going to give up. She is not going to faint. She's going to come to me again and again and again and again. And she's going to weary me. And I'll get fed up to the teeth with her. I'd be better just doing what she wants. Save myself all that bother. And you see, the widow, she was determined. There was somebody doing her wrong. There was a situation that prevailed that needed someone powerful to intervene. And it didn't happen for a while. It says he would not for a while. But in spite of that, in spite of her adversary doing her wrong, and he continued to do it, or whoever, might have been a she, the adversary continued to do it, the woman just dug her heels in and says, well, I'm not giving up. And the judge realized this. Says, if I don't do what this woman wants me to do, my life will not be worth living. Now, hands up all you husbands who know that from experience. I'm sure you do. Not right, Sandra? Colin's wife's not worth, his life's not worth living. But, you know, that's an everyday occurrence. It happens. And that's what was happening here. And so the judge intervenes, and the judge sorts out the situation. Persevering. Now, there's not only an exhortation and an illustration, but there's an expectation. There's an expectation. Because the Lord argues from the lesser to the greater. He says this, if you look at verse 6, hear what the unjust judge saith. Now here's the argument. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Now, the Lord's just saying this, very simple. He's saying, if this ungodly man, if this unjust judge, and the Lord specifically says that, hear what the unjust judge saith, if he does what he did, because he's being hounded by someone and he doesn't have any love for that woman and he doesn't have any regard for men, if he does that, here's the argument. Will God not do it for those he does love? You see, it says this in verse 7, and shall not God avenge, now notice these words, his own. You see, the widow wasn't related to the judge. She had no claim on him by being related to him. She probably was a perfect stranger to him. But nevertheless, she was able to prevail. And the judge says, well, I'm going to do what she's asked me to do, because I'm going to get fed up to the teeth. She'll come to me continually. But here, the argument is this. God loves his own. He looks after his own. His children are his own. And if this unjust judge was moved the way he was moved, will the Lord not intervene for his own? And you notice what it says here. It says, and shall not God avenge his own elect? Some people don't like to talk about election. Some people will say, oh, that should never be preached. But folks, it's in the Word of God. And the great truth around the doctrine of election is the free love and grace of the Lord. We love him, the Bible says. Why? Why? Because he first loved us. Jeremiah 31, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. The Lord set his love upon his people from all eternity. Now the judge had no love for this widow, yet he intervened for her. But folks, the judge of all the earth, the Lord has love, undying love, unchanging love for his own. And the argument is simply from the lesser to the greater. If the unjust judge has done what he has done, shall not God avenge those whom he loves, those who are his own? And notice what it says about his elect. They cry unto him day and night. You see, they don't give up. They hold on to God in the daytime. They hold on to God in the day and the nighttime. They persevere. And God's elect will persevere. That's what the Bible means when it says, he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. And then you'll notice not only an expectation of the Lord intervening. If the judge did it for someone he didn't love, God, the judge of all the earth, will do it for those he does love. But there's the expectation also when Christ returns. He says this, look at verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, you might ask, well, what does that mean? What has that got to do with the parable? Well, didn't we point out at the beginning, the Lord was encouraging his people to persevere in the life of grace? Didn't we point out that in chapter 17 he was talking about his return, his coming again in glory and in power? He talks about the last days being like it was in the days of Noah. Talks about the last days being days like it was in the days of Lot. And here he says this, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Or we could put it this way, he shall find faith on the earth. And the simple thought is this: notwithstanding all the machinations of the devil, notwithstanding all the persecution and opposition of the world against the church, they'll never destroy it. They'll never destroy it. It will be there in the earth when the Lord comes back. Didn't the Lord say in another place, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? So the Lord's telling us simply, look, persevere, for you will win through. And God will come and intervene and enable you to persevere through all the difficult times. That's an encouraging word for us tonight. Maybe you have problems in your home, problems in your work, problems in your place of employment. Sometimes you just feel like giving up. Sometimes you feel like fainting. Here's a word from the Lord for you. Here's a word from the Lord for me. Never give up. Keep persevering in the Christian life. Keep holding on to the Lord. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. May the Lord bless his word to you. Our hearts this evening. We'll spend the remainder of our time in prayer. Let's seek the Lord.